television. I'd love to do television. I've never been a long-term person. I live for today, which is always a bad thing. I mean, my bank manager would shoot me for that.
There are about 12 people pretending to be me on Facebook and about 12 on Twitter.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd get the job at Radio Trent. I really didn't.
Dale Winton, The Radio Years, a Radio Moments Conversations special.
I wasn't intended to be in a theatrical profession. I was a revolting child and and plenty of confidence. I don't consider myself unintelligent, but I can't apply myself to exams and things. Oh, I can't. I'm one of these people, if it doesn't interest me, I don't want to know. I didn't want to know about school very much, so I didn't study too well. I got my O-levels, a few O-levels and things, but I think the family were quite hoping I would not be the one to go into the business and I'd be the one who would actually become a doctor or a lawyer or something, you know, but I mean, it wasn't to be. No. No, I left school at 16. I was always the one eager to get out and earn some money, and I didn't really get into pop music till quite late. I was about 14 before I really started to like records. I left school and I wanted to be in the music business. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I mean, if you'd said to me, what would you like to be at that age, I'd love to have been a pop singer. That was never on the cards. Well, you know, I mean, I can't sing at all. So I went to work for EMI, and all I was doing was I was working in the HMV shop in London, in Oxford Street, a huge shop, and they cling film every record, or polywrap as they call it. And I used to work the polywrap machine. One day, I mean, I loved it. I was in the music business. It was great. You know, I was lifting boxes of records, and I mean, it wasn't the job with the prospects that I'd have hoped, but I mean, I enjoyed it. I was quite happy to do it for the rest of my life, I think. And I went round the pub one day for a drink, and in those days, the mid-70s, was the pub boom, go-go dances and things in the pubs, and there was this disc jockey playing records, and I thought, oh, I'd quite like to do that. And I asked the manager where he got his DJs from and rang up the agency and pestered the living daylights out of them for 3 months until they said, oh, go on, we'll give him a job.
And he brought in a little box of records. Me, I brought in, like, you know, a complete shop. He brought in a little box of records because he knew what was going to get everybody going. And he wiped the floor with me completely. But we became really good friends. Really good friends. Almost immediately.
People say you can either be a natural or not. I think that providing you can talk, you can do it. You do need a fairly good voice, I think. And they have a sense of humour, the fun approach. And I sort of developed from there. And I was just happy to do discos. I mean, radio wasn't something I even thought. I mean, I've never been a long-term person. I live for today, which is always a bad thing. I mean, my bank manager would shoot me for that. But, I mean, that's the thing. And I just sort of drifted on from there.
Baking, yeah, yeah. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Biscuits and wafers and tea time cakes. Baked to the tune of da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
ILR was just about to open. I'm going back to now. 1973-74, and independent local radio was just about to blossom, and there was nowhere for a disc jockey to get experience apart from the clubs, and the word disco in radio is often sort of looked down upon. I mean, I think discos are marvellous, and I think that a lot of good talent is in the discos still today, but to get the first step is always the most difficult one.
He'd been with me at United Biscuits Network, UBN, which if you read his autobiography, you'll know all about. That's where a lot of people started, the Roger Scotts, the Nicky Horns, the Graham Deans, the Adrian Loves, everybody started there.
It was like doing rep in the theatre, 24 hours a day, four-hour shows where you not only played music, you had to read news, make promos, but instead of doing commercials and things, you had to do things like Walk, Don't Run in the Factory and Beware of Forklift Trucks, stuff like that. And you had to edit them, produce them, and you worked. My goodness, you worked there.
Wash your hands in the basins. Oh, please wash your hands in the basins. Please wash them on leaving the toilets.
The smell, you couldn't walk anywhere. It was like walking through a vat of Cadbury's. It was incredible, but it was a great experience. And that was the heart. I said, oh, did I send tapes in there? Endless tapes. And eventually in 1974, I got the job there. And it was a great high for me because you felt, well, now I can. It's like passing an exam, getting in there. You think, if I make a go of it here, then I should be able to get a radio job eventually.
Hi, this is Dale Winton. Some of you may recall it was my pleasure to host various programmes on UBN between August 74 and August 77.
My very first job at United Biscuits Network, when Adrian Love was the programme controller, he gave me the job then. It was my very first job in radio. And he said, you know, we like your voice, we'll give you a job, but, you know, the name, it's too phony, you know, it sounds like a DJ's name. And I said, well, it's my real name, Adrian. So he said, really? I said, oh, yeah. So he said, well, and he renamed me Simon York for 6 months, but then when he left, I was doing the night show then, when he left, I moved to a different shift, you see, so I could go back to my real name. Funny thing, actually, because I come from a theatrical family, and my mother always said, you know, she always said, oh, she wanted an unusual name, and it was Dale Jonathan, so it's DJ. Funnily enough, it's my real name.
With UBN closing, there's not a lot of happiness around at the moment, so I'd just like to say goodbye with a thought that in over 9 years on the air, it would be true to say that UBN shattered an old proverb. It really did please all of the people all of the time. And in saying that, all the listeners in Austerley, Harlesden, Manchester, Liverpool and Tollcross, you were all it took to make one individual very happy.
No, well, actually, that's a funny thing. I wasn't intended to be in the theatrical profession. I think the family were quite hoping I would not be the one to go into the business, and I'd be the one who would actually become a doctor or a lawyer or something, you know? But I mean, it wasn't to be. No.
Sounds like you want to hear.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd get the job at Radio Trent. I really didn't, because it was advertised in a magazine, in one of the trade magazines, and at that time, there were a lot of people at UBN doing different shows, and as ILR was growing and new stations were opening, everybody was sort of like trying to get into real radio. And I was quite happy at UBN, and I thought, well, I'd like to stay in London. Then I saw this job advertised and met the then managing director, Dennis Maitland, in London. And he heard the tape and he said, quite like that. We'll be in touch. So don't call us, we'll call you, but it won't be just yet. And I went away and I thought, well, and I was quite open about and forthright about my views on radio to him, and I thought, well, I've blown it. You know, when you get that feeling, you think, I've just said too much. And he said, don't call us, we'll call you. And 3 months later, they did. I was doing a country show on a Tuesday night, which, I mean, I know nothing about country and Western music, but nothing. It was a case of reading up on the album covers, and I thought, you know, what am I doing here playing country and Western music? And then I was given a Saturday evening show where I could have fun, but that was like two shows a week, and I was getting a bit bored because I wanted to work. I've always been almost a workaholic. I enjoy it so much. So then eventually I got the afternoon show.
Enjoy the afternoon show on Radio Trent.
Thank you very much, Steve. Right, it's 17 minutes before 4, and I'll see you till 5:30 with the best of music. And this was Len's record of the week for the week, a couple of weeks ago. It's by Tony Autoria.
I'm Len Grote. I was head of programmes and music at Radio Trent for the whole 8 years that Dale was with us, but I was also still on the air. So ironically, we were actually in competition with each other, but off air, we were great friends because he was just such a great person.
Right, it's a Tuesday if you've just joined me. Hello, it's Dale on Trent 301 metres in the medium wave band and 96.2 stereo VHF.
When Dale arrived at Trent, he was part of a team of new DJs who'd taken over from the original team, and the managing director, Dennis Maitland, had employed him and me. And the other DJs were quite subservient towards Dennis, who was a bit formal. One day, one of the DJs said to him, Mr. Maitland, can I... And just as he said it, Dale breezed in with a big smile and said, Dennis, darling, good morning, and gave Dennis a huge peck on the cheek.
Dale Winton.
Into the second hour of the Dale Winton Show this Tuesday afternoon with the Motors, and that's called Airport. It's 2:08. A very good afternoon to you. And of course, in the show for you this afternoon, the Trent Trade, it's between 2:30 and 3:30, where I open up the phone lines and have a chat to you, see if you've got anything you'd like to swap. And don't forget, the number to ring, as ever, is Nottingham 581.
I hated being away from London. You get used to things like, you know, being able to go out and buy a meal at 1 a.m. after discos. Bearing in mind, you see, I've been at UBN, I was doing a morning show at UBN and discos at night time, so it was quite a hectic life. And Nottingham then was much slower. And I kept on thinking, oh, I'd like to go back to London. And maybe it took me 3 years to get used to it. I now love Nottingham, and I go back to London occasionally. Sometimes weekends I go back for friends, but London's changed, perhaps not for the better, whereas Nottingham, I think, has. It's very accessible, you can go anywhere from here.
Thanks to you, you're listening to Nottingham's leading radio station, broadcasting to you 24 hours a day, 301 and 96.2 in stereo. This is Radio Trent. Like I say, Monday's Dale Winton Show, you're never more than one record away from that hit sound. Sabba, lay all your love on me.
I became head of music for the radio station, and I asked Dale to join me doing the playlist for a while, which he did, I think, for about a year. And so we got to know each other, and he started telling me about his mum. It turned out she'd committed suicide when he was just 21 years old. She'd had roles in a Beatles film and also in Doctor No. She wanted to be a film star. Dale drove me down to London one weekend. He wanted me to see her room. He told me all about her. It was quite clear to me that she was his inspiration to be the star that she'd never been.
I love doing gigs. So, I mean, if there are any people listening who would like to book me for summer balls, barbecues, bar mitzvahs, you know, call me. I'll be there. I'll don on the glad rags. And I love doing them.
She sings so sweet, doesn't she? Cady Staton. Suspicious Minds. Loads more dedications to go through if you have written to the show. Stand by for those between now and midday. This is a big American smash at the moment. It's top 10 for Donny Iris and the Cruisers. It's called My Girl.
You learn at a very early stage when you go out and someone says, oh, you're Dale Winton, are you? Oh, you don't look like what you sound. And the key thing is never to say, what were you expecting? Never. I always say, oh, I thought you'd be blonde, or I thought you'd be shorter, and we didn't think you'd be as tall as that. Things like that, you know, and you never know quite what people expect.
And war, baby. Morning, Dale.
Morning. So how are you?
Very well.
I'm in a fabulous mood today.
Oh, yeah, that's all I can say. It's the first time you've
seen. I'm David Lloyd. I worked with Dale through the early 80s. It was no secret that he wanted to be a star. He said as much in the office. I distinctly remember the conversation. He used to hold court in the office, and he counted out his ambitions on his hand, and he named the people he wanted to be best friends with, and ultimately, like Cilla, that came to reality. I mean, what an unlikely ambition. And also, he said, I want to be a star, and I want to host a, and recall the phrase he used, he said, tacky game show. He knew that a game show would be the vehicle for his ambition, and he also knew it wasn't going to be Mastermind.
Sometimes things happen. I'm a great believer in destiny and fate. I really do. I also am a great believer in positive thinking, and you can create your own luck if you push very hard. But certain things happen. Certain things have happened to me in my life, and I thought, that's one heck of a coincidence. And things like that, it's as if there's a force there. But, I mean, that's perhaps too strong a word. Things happen which are fated, I believe, that perhaps we don't have control of, and there are unseen things.
Donny Iris and the Cruisers, and that's called My Girl. A couple of dedications, one here from Shirley Bloss. Hello, Bloss, Mrs. Bloss. Runswick Drive, Arnold. Hi, Dale. Writing in for a request for no one but myself, but it's my birthday on 31st. Like to hear a record, please. Thank you and all the staff concerned with Radio Trent for many hours of entertainment. Oh, you noticed? Would you please? I will.
The thing with Dale was that the performance began not when he went on air, but as soon as he bumped into another human being. So the car, large cars, loved his cars, the car would arrive during the 9 o'clock news, which is when his programme began, and he'd sort of get out of the car like royalty. And as soon as he arrived in reception, you know, the show had begun. Morning!
Do you remember your first kiss? Do you remember your first kiss? Yeah. It's a funny old thing, isn't it? I had my first kiss today. I was all of about 8 years old. It's Will Powers, Kissing With Confidence. A nice new record from her. And a new one from her actually just coming out just before Christmas, which is called Smile, which I shall be playing on Monday's show.
I think one of the reasons Dale became a star eventually was that he knew how to network. Long before people used that term, Dale had a London manager, even though he was working in Nottingham, and managed to get people like Cliff Richard, Patricia Phoenix of Coronation Street, Elsie Tanner, Larry Grace and Elton John to come and do live interviews in his studio in Nottingham, a long way from London. They didn't used to venture away from London very often. Somehow or other, Dale persuaded these huge stars to come up. He always dressed very well so that in the studio there'd be a photographer who'd take a picture of him with the star as well. And that kind of networking, I think, was what let him start to climb the showbiz ladder.
I must be honest, the guests are fabulous. I mean, I really enjoy doing those. But some people don't make as great an impression as you would have hoped when you actually meet them. People often ask me who was my favourite. I'd say definitely Kenneth Williams. He was the only one who actually made me collapse in the studio laughing, because he is such a natural. Cartland's always good. She won't travel, of course, but, I mean, that is an experience in itself. She's always good. I mean, the woman lives in a different world. There's no question about it. I mean, it's a lilac world. It really is. Can't fault her. It's good day out and good fun. Other people I've enjoyed. Nicholas Parsons, believe it or not, was a great surprise. He arrived about an hour late, and he said, I'm ever so sorry. And he was, in between the records, he was telling me dirty jokes, which is not the sort of thing you'd expect Nicholas Parsons. He was always a hoot. Scream he was.
Friday, May the 21st means something special. Something big. Something DWD.
I can't wait.
Yes, Friday, May the 21st is that DWD day we've been hearing so much about.
Don't forget,
DWDD is coming.
I can't wait for DWD Day. Can you?
When's it going to be, Dale?
DWD Day is Friday, May the 21st.
But you could be a telly star, darling. You are a very good-looking boy, isn't it?
Diet with Dale.
Dale Winton.
When Dale left Radio Trent, it was quite traumatic for him. We'd actually moved him to The Breakfast Show to justify the fact that he had a rather larger wage than all the other DJs because he was freelance and had a London agent. The Breakfast Show didn't really work. Dale didn't like getting up early in the morning. He went back on the mid-morning show, but then in 1985, there were financial cutbacks, and Dale was one of the cutbacks. I remember he would come round to my house at night and say, "What can I do? I don't know what to do now." But deep inside, he knew he had to move on, because to get into TV, which was his ultimate goal, it was actually a good thing.
I think in exactly the same way. I've had 5 years on The Morning Show, and I've had sort of near getting on for a year on The Breakfast Show. So I say, well, that's great. And if it suddenly ended for whatever reason, I wouldn't perhaps be as bitter as some would be, because I think in this sort of business, it's show business, so it happens.
96.2 would like to remind you that it's the stereo that makes the difference.
What's this for?
This is not for, you're not recording this, are you? No way.
I couldn't tell you, Blackburn. Sensational.
Radio Trent Stereo, your 24-hour friend.
I'm Pete Wagstaff. I was the programme director at Beacon. I'd worked with Dale at Trent. I'd left. And then I had a phone call one day to say something had happened at Trent. And had I got anything going? I did, by luck. You know, I said, come over. And, you know, we do things here jointly. The MD, he'd like to meet you. Within, you know, 20 seconds, the MD just said, yeah, hire him. And that was it. You know, he got the gig straight away. So we put him on mid-morning. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Stylish. Funny. You know, the audience of the Black Country just loved him. He went down a storm. Excellent ratings. Station did so well with him there. Bags of music, bags of competitions, bags of personality. Callers on air, in and out. Just great on the radio.
Trish, good morning.
Good morning. Jim.
How are you, my love, my poppet, my angel, my heart's desire?
Oh, all right, now I'm speaking to you. I've recovered, I almost choked.
I know, because Liz, who took the call, said, got a right one here. She could hardly speak when she answered the phone. What happened?
I was having a cup of coffee. All the girls got together. We've been trying to
This
get
is one Christmas, so it must have been in the late 80s. We persuaded a local Ford dealership to... They had a low-loader truck. And we persuaded them to put on the back a nativity scene. It was awful, honestly. It was plastic camels, plastic, you know, Joseph and Mary, lights, and it was just horrendous. But the idea was we'd tour, you know, around the Black Country and collect cash at Christmas for, you know, for those folks less fortunate than we were. And so anyway, at the time, I think we must have had, this must have been at the time that we had a separate AM service as well. So I got all the jocks together for a jocks meeting and sort of said, look, you know, this is what, as you can imagine, a jocks meeting, you can imagine how enthusiastic everybody was. And I basically said, look, this is what we're going to do, blah, blah, blah. I'm looking for somebody to play Santa Claus. So, you know, straight away he chirped up and said, hey, don't look at me. With this complexion, I'm not wearing red.
Darling, what is the phrase that pays?
Right.
Come on, then.
Clear me toe first. More chances to win on Beacon. Beacon Radio. More chances to win on Beacon. Beacon Radio.
Just minutes away from the latest news with Bob Jones. To take us there, we're going to go back with a great memory. On Beacon, the Everly Brothers. Remember this one? Walk right back. News is next.
Look, he was as funny off air as he was on air. On air, he used to talk about espadrilles, which are like shoes. And it took me years to work that out. I never had any idea.
And as it's your birthday, it's the best news from the espadrilles I've had all week.
He wasn't happy for so... I don't think he was unhappy with his life on air. I think he was... I think, first of all, when he first came to Beacon, he was still living in Nottingham, so he was legging it every day from Nottingham. So that was quite a trip. Eventually, he moved to this small village in Shropshire called Bridgnorth. which seemed odd at the time that he did this. Because you've got to remember, Dale was a big city lad, you know. He'd come from London and he used to go back there pretty often. I just don't think he fitted in Bridgnorth, and I think he probably thought that was a mistake. So he just came to me one day and just said, you know, I just feel out of place and, you know, I want to go back to London. I remember saying, well, what are you going to do money-wise, buddy, you know? And he just said, I don't know, I just can't do this anymore. I just want to move. So that was it, and off you went. Chilton Radio.
The first thing he ever said to me, now, bearing in mind, I was really young, I was working at Chilton Radio, and I walked into the studio, and it was a really hot day, and I must admit, I wasn't wearing many clothes. And he looked at me, and the first thing he ever said was, oh my God, my darling, you look divine. The beard would play havoc with my thighs, but I don't care. I must have you. And I just didn't know what to say. I didn't know where to look. And I went, yeah, maybe not. Let's talk about it a bit. Anyway, we did get to chat and nothing happened, I can assure you.
And he went along for this show called Supermarket Sweep. And he knew the show because he'd done his research. He was living in rented accommodation. And he goes in there. And bearing in mind, he's very overweight. He's very confident in his own way. As I say, once you met him, you wouldn't ever forget meeting him. Because he had that sort of personality. And he goes in for this meeting. And he's got people there. And he goes in and they sort of look at him. And they sort of decide all the rest of it. And in the end, after he'd had this little interview for Supermarket Sweep, they went, well, thank you very much indeed for coming in to see us. And he said to me, I knew I hadn't got it. He said, I knew I hadn't got it. He said, so I thought, I've got nothing to lose. He said, I stood up. I said, thank you very much indeed. Listen, he said, I'll tell you a few things. He said, you need me for this show. He said, you need me. He said, you'll find Lord Lucan before you find a better presenter. Because they didn't want him. I think they wanted Keith Chegwin. Keith Chegwin was like top of their list. And he said, we're sick to death of seeing the same people on television. We're sick to death of seeing all the people that we've seen time and time again. He said, I need this job. He said, I'll turn it round for you. And he turned round and he walked out of the room. And they looked at each other, apparently. And they went, let's give it to him.
Are you ready to go shopping?
In the interim period, I'd been working out in Vienna at Blue Danube Radio for the ORF, the Austrian Broadcasting Corporation, roughly equivalent to the BBC over here. And he'd said to me before, he said, can you get me, you know, a job out there? He said, because it was a three-week contract and I'd love to do it and I need the money. So I said, OK. So I had a word with the lady who ran it and she booked him to go out there and he went out there. And he did a few contracts. Unfortunately, he then cancelled because something else came up in his life, like he couldn't really be bothered. And so he didn't go. And she said to me, she said, I hope he's not going to be like this. Anyway, blow me down. He was due to go on the Sunday and he got Supermarket Sweep and he cancelled.
I remember bumping into him in London at Tottenham Court Road tube station. He was coming down and I was going up and he got these incredibly tight, shiny shorts on. And he's got a videotape in his hand, a VHS videotape. And he said, David, this is it.
You're all on Supermarket Sweep. And here's your host, Dale Winton.
Good morning, teams. Good morning to you and welcome to Supermarket Sweep. One of our teams could be going home today with £2,000. Join Carol on Wednesday for another midweek draw and I'll see you here next Saturday. Have a great weekend and a good night. Good night now.
It's Michelle Collins.
Oh, Michelle.
And don't forget to join Dale Winton for the normal Pick of the Pops tomorrow at 2 o'clock on Radio 2 Turak.
Good afternoon, hello there, welcome to Radio 2 and Pick of the Pops. Yes, I'm Dale and today we're heading back 37 years. It will be 1973. Before we move on 7 years, it'll be the hits from this week of 1980. I should have taken myself off the TV, but I didn't. And actually, I was going to the studio, coming home. Listen, there are worse things in the world, but I had health issues and I had the depression. And I didn't realise. I was thought, get over yourself. And I should have known, my mum died of it. But I thought it was something you could do. But it exists. And anybody out there who's suffering, trust me, I didn't want to put one foot in front of the other outside the house. But for a couple of really good friends, David Williams was brilliant. He has kept me going. And a couple of other friends, Prem Merrill, who's not in the business. But so I should have really said, I had a bad breakup and then I had health issues. And I thought, you know what? I want to withdraw. But you know what this business is like?
BBC News at 10 o'clock. This is Claire Ronacres. In the past hour, it's been announced that the radio and TV presenter Dale Winton has died. He was 62. He hosted several programmes, including Radio 2's Pick of the Pops. His agent said he'd died at home earlier today. No further details were given.
I tried so hard all summer through not to think too much of you. But the more I try, the more I find I just can't leave the past behind. Times that are happy are times that are few. And once I was happy when I had you. The days
I think Dale will be remembered as one of the last great entertainers. He was born in 1955, but a lot of his inspiration was from an earlier era. His love of old films, the fact that one of his big inspirations was the legendary Bob Monkhouse, he managed to mix it all together, add his own sparkling personality to it, and he really was unique.
No matter where I am or what I do, my darling, all I see is you. You're there in every.
He always wanted to be a star, and he was a star, and he was an entertainer. He was a natural, he was gifted. He had that style. Off air, he was just the same person. He was, you know, he was one of the most generous people I ever met. He wouldn't ever, ever let you pay for anything. He was just a lovely, genuine guy, you know, with a heart of gold. You know, my life is better for knowing him.
It sounds so stupid, doesn't it? You know, when you've known somebody for such a long time, and I mean a long time, like nearly 50 years, and I was fine out in the newsroom. I was absolutely fine. And then all of a sudden, you know, you come into the studio and there's loads of texts and emails from people, you know, sort of saying nice things about him. And I think that's great.
In Dale Winton, The Radio Years, you heard the voices of Len Grote, Pete Wagstaff, Martin Collins and David Lloyd, with clips from The Steve Allen Show at LBC and from ITV's Loose Women. The original 1980s interview was conducted by Malcolm Mortimer. This was a Radio Moments Conversations special.